Log Talk Radio.
What's happening, ladies and gentlemen, everybody out there in the internet and on the internet wires? It is that time again on a Wednesday evening at the 8 o'clock hour. We are live once again on the Kay Thompson Live Show. I am the person that is commonly known as the Sun, and you are, lady.
Kay Thompson, and I am live, Eric, as you know. Welcome everyone to Kay Thompson Live. We have a dynamite show for you today. Lots to be discussed. I can stay so angry when I think about Trump, you know, and he's been on and on and on and on and on. When are we going to be able to get rid of him, Eric?
I don't know. Hopefully real soon. But the Democrats took back the House yesterday, so it's beginning, and at least we'll have some sort of a check and balance on him that we can depend on and hopefully start to slow down and kind of prevent him from just doing whatever he wants to do, which is what he's been doing so far, and the Republicans have chosen to be complicit with him. And it starts now. Excuse us for 1 second. That's a little malfunction there. And it starts with now this past election. That was a referendum on whether people really like him. You know, the House of Representatives, Maz, that's really a more of a cross sampling of Americans, because there's 435 representatives that each represent some 700,000 people, and so that's really more representative of America than really the Senate, which is just the 100 people, and you know each state gets two senators. But before we continue on, let's welcome our one of our other co-hosts, Brother Byron Saunders. Welcome in. Turning on your mic, Byron. We got a little bit of a slow connection today for whatever reason, our internet's. But as with that's doing, Byron, can you hear us? Are you connected? All right, it's a slow connection there. I can see it kind of winding. I don't know why it's particularly slow today, but if it doesn't, in a minute, maybe call back. I'll see what happens. But you know, last night's election was like I said, it was a referendum on Trump, like he said. You know, consider, even though I'm not on the ballot, act as if I am on the ballot. So that's what people did. And there you go, Byron. I think we got you. Got your mic on. Are you on?
Yeah, I am
all
on.
Right.
I'm listening to you. Thank you.
And
you know,
welcome to the show.
Right. Thank you, Eric and the caller. I woke up this morning realizing victory. You know, victory is still victory. And the number of Democratic gains all across the nation are past remarkable. We just witnessed a true blue wave, and more is coming. You see, we took back the House immediately, and you know what that did, Eric? It put the President of the United States and Mitch McConnell in check. Because you see, our people, our votes really do count. We didn't take Florida or Georgia. Yeah, that was a disappointment, but they're still both in play because of the voter suppression. And there's and as of this evening, both are under consideration for recount, and both of which, you know, are probably going to end up being taken to the state Supreme Court for the voter suppression and oppression that was ongoing. Stacey Abrams, as of this evening, picked up another 6,000 votes out of Gwinnett County.
Oh, wow. Terrific.
And it's and then at this moment she needs just 15,000 more votes to force the runoff. 15,000, and they're still so they have discovered votes, absentee votes that haven't been counted. They've discovered votes that were. I mean, this is what's going on, folks, and we have to really understand and comprehend what this really means. Think about this. Since the Civil War, four states actually became bellwether states for the defeat of the Confederacy again. Those states are Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Texas. Texas, and think about this. Although all three states are under question as a rejection of the current administration, Beto O'Rourke is still a congressman. He didn't lose his seat.
Well, yeah, he did lose his seat. He did have to give up his
check.
Seat. That's what I asked my cousin last night. He did have to give up his seat.
But he put a check on Cruz.
Yeah,
he put a check
absolutely.
On Cruz, and he's got a war chest of over $38 million. So Democrats got a chance to really do some serious work in Texas. We also remember back a couple months ago in the state of Alabama, it was because of black voters that kept pedophile out of office. And
right, exactly.
With respect to Georgia and Florida, let me tell you. When Lee surrendered at Appomattox, remember this, and this is history. Lee surrendered and waved the white flag to some of his classmates from West Point. They were friends on opposite sides. And
like
this,
now.
This
I mean,
that's right. This past midterm election really was a rebuke of racism, hatred, white supremacy, and women all across our country became the significant impact that there's no turning back. The revolution is live. It may not be televised.
That's true. Let me just,
and because of the black women getting together more so, and you know, uniting across you know political lines, you know, there's going to be changes. And the changes are going to be led by many black women or women of color also. Meaning Latinos, meaning Asians, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me just go and welcome our other host, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how are you doing tonight? What's your assessment about this situation?
Wayne, how are you?
Hey, I'm just listening in. It sounds exciting. I have to say initially I was really disappointed with the outcome at first because of what happened, and of course Georgia's still in play, and I'd like to think Florida's still in play, and I look back and listening to our noted historian Byron there, you know, there is certainly a nexus with all this, with what went on in the past and what we could expect in the future. There was a correction last night, and I'm excited that the House is back, and at least we have more than just one party running the government. But, again, dealing with this man's arrogance, I mean, I don't know if you had a chance to see the television news conference this afternoon.
Press conference. Oh, yeah, we're going to get to that, too. But.
Oh, please. I mean, just the height of arrogance and pompousness, and, it's just despicable. But it just seems that one thing that was familiar, there was a common thread with all these races in which Republicans maintained office or even unseated some Democrats, and that was the race factor, you know? It just seems to be so apparent that we are still living in a time when this, you know, remains a significant issue, even if it is costing the American economy just to maintain this divisiveness between the races. You know, it's been documented that it's costing our economy, that there are better things to do with our money than to keep, you know, having to get engaged in this buffoonery after all these years. But it is what it is. I don't know what it will take to go away. And quickly, I just want to give a shout-out. We had a big turnout last night. Antonio Delgado, my sister's husband is campaign manager upstate New York, and they were able to do away with the race card up there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things. So,
your brother-in-law was his campaign manager?
My brother-in-law is his campaign manager.
Wow, well, congratulations.
Terrific.
Well, congratulations
right.
to your brother-in-law, because I know Congressman Payne supported Antonio Delgado financially. We've supported his campaign, so we're glad to have. I know the Congressional Black Caucus is glad to pick up a couple new members.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know what we have to do. I think the the House of Representatives obviously being taken back, but and we have close races. You know, we have to work out a way mathematically, or more people voted, but we have to find a way to neutralize, I think, the effect of the institutional or the infrastructural ability to for one party to abuse the system. And I'm trying to say, be a polite way of saying cheating, right? Because to me, you know, in Florida, it's always kind of iffy. Georgia was kind of iffy. We knew going in, that's iffy. And we know that one of their tactics is, if you watch CNN's documentary where we watched the other night, Democracy in Peril,
mm-hmm.
one of their tactics is to suppress the vote. And mm-hmm. that was this guy, Ken Kobach, who was big out of Ohio, who was the architect of claiming that people were falsely voting, falsified their or voter fraud, which, you know, there's a very small percentage of that. But that's the way that they go after, you know, suppressing the vote. So that's how they win. And I think that if they're willing to make that a tactic, then it's highly feasible to believe that, you know, they're willing to cheat. They're willing to use cheating. They're willing to cheat to win. I mean, clearly something was funny in Florida when George W. Bush got elected. Again, something's funny in Florida now, you know, so we need to look into these things. And certainly Trump's, you know, the whole Russia situation. So, and how the Republican Party, just as long as they won, it's okay. They're complicit in this. So their willingness to do whatever it takes to win needs to be, we need to put a counter check into that system. And somehow when the Democrats take power again this time, we need to stop being so nice, stop being so soft. And even though you have to govern and want to be the adult in the room, you got to make sure that the juveniles and the retarded people don't mess up things when they are, if they're able to get their hands on things. So, you know, we really have to look out for that, you know. I mean, certainly this guy tried to suppress the vote in Georgia. You know? I mean, I'm calling it what it is, man. We need
I have to say
you know,
you're so polite, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It's the other words to describe what's going on. It's just I can't understand, and maybe Byron might have some factual information on this, that whole Florida vote, I mean, it was so close. And the areas in which they said that put DeSantis over the top were areas that are considered rural, you know? I mean, to me, there should be a recount of what went on over there. You know, I thought, maybe it's my bias, but I thought Gillum gave up too easily. I think, you know, Florida and Georgia are almost the same.
Yeah, but there is a state law in Florida that if it's less than or 4% or less in a vote between the two candidates, a recount is demanded. Now, that's why the senatorial race will get a recount because it was right at 4%. Gillum, like Stacey Abrams, could possibly challenge, and we'll have to find out what his campaign will do, like in Georgia, the NAACP immediately filed a suit against Kemp
right.
and the state of Georgia before the election was over based on voter suppression. So
right.
at the point at which you have I understand what you're saying, Wayne, but there is a law in Florida based on 4%. Now his loss was more than 4%, but there's still the challenge of racial suppression, gerrymandering, and other issues, which as we've known, because when they eliminated Section 5 of the 65 Voters Act. That was the section which engaged when there was voter chicanery and other acts of malfeasance within a state voting situation. The federal government would send in the FBI to address the situation. That was eliminated by the last Supreme Court, as you may recall.
And Byron, Texas was one of those states, right? I believe Texas was one of the states within that number of states that had to be watched or kept an eye on, I believe, right?
That's right. South Carolina, North Carolina, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, and Florida. All of the southern states were under the under that directive. And so when they eliminated that, and then of course with Beauregard, Jeff Beauregard Sessions, as the new Attorney General, he became the no standing by the door, it's making sure that those gerrymandering as well as those issues were kept in play. And so now that he's gone, you know, no loss, no foul. I'm glad he's gone. But you know what we are really up against now is a constitutional crisis, and it's going to come to a decision based both in the Supreme Court and now in the democratically held Congress.
Well, therein lies the problem, right? If it goes to the Supreme Court and this guy just placed his boy on the court, they have the majority of the court, right? So, you know, this is what I'm saying. We have to play a game where we can either neutralize the fix being in or something, because they always put the fix in, and we're always left standing like Linus. I'm like Charlie Brown, believing Lucy again to kick the football.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
and
you know,
Democrats need to, you know, need to just grow a pair, you know.
The Supreme Court can only render a decision on what it's asked to litigate with respect to an unconstitutional law. Congress, this is why last night was a major victory. Congress can legislate by legal action the check and balance against not only the executive branch but the judicial branch, because by law, constitutional law, even if the president vetoes legislation, he doesn't have a two-thirds majority, and then he still can't take it to the Supreme Court. So there's this was major what happened last night.
Checks and balances.
That's right, exactly. So we take this victory, and like our National Black Anthem says, till victory is won.
We've got to keep building on this victory.
Right.
You know, at this point in our country, I mean, Wayne, you talked about, I think one of you guys talked about that in some of the, it came down to race, you know, in a lot of these Senate races and things like that. You know, we're talking about areas of the country where the actual percentage of people of color is very small, you know, and so the race issue is still one that people choose to, you know, it's like they're choosing to still be ignorant. You know, I mean, in our society, in this day and age, with technology at your fingertips and so many avenues where one can educate themselves or at least broaden their perspective or just learn something new every day, it's almost as if some of these people choose to remain ignorant. You understand? Or they choose to wallow, or they choose to stay in the belief of their hatred. And if that is be their choice, that clearly that it is, then that's something that needs to be recognized and say, well, you know, this percentage of Americans or whatever this 33rd or whatever Trump's base is, they're going to choose that. They're going to choose hatred. They're going to choose racism. That's where they live. So we got to neutralize that like we did last night with more voter turnout, you know, engaging more of the voters, making more people still want to vote. I mean, you know, these congressional districts, everybody represents about 700,000 people. And on the average, if you look at the outcome of the campaigns, I would say about half that came out and voted. My cousin got about 149,000. The next person behind him was very small number of votes. But as you look, if you go to the election results that you can go to online and look at the total number of votes for all of the congressional candidates, all of them probably had just about half of the electorate that they represent come out and vote, a little less than half, as a matter of fact. So what we need to do is expand the voting base, you know, and somehow appeal to people to come out and vote. And that needs to be the route we need to take in terms of Democrats taking back the Senate. I'm sorry, Wayne, you were going to say?
Yeah, as you mentioned all this, Eric, I'm reminded of the contest that's still not solved yet in your state there in Jersey between Andy Kim and the incumbent Republican Congressman.
MacArthur,
that was a racist. I mean, you would think Andy Kim was a member of the Black Liberation Army by the time this man was finished with him. And, you know, and I'm not saying that the sound, I mean, it just seems like it was so blatant that he just kept throwing it out there about
party, right?
You know, his ties to different nationalistic groups or even groups that are no longer a factor in today's world, you know, but just because, you know, he was one of Obama's soldiers, you know, he felt that he would disparage this man's image, and all you ever saw was just repeated television advertisements against this guy, you know, and that race was close, and I'm just surprised that it was like razor close, you know, to the point where they won't solve this until sometime next week after going through provisional ballots and things like that. And I thought here in the great Northeast that we would have had, I mean, in spite of how inclement the weather was, I know people in New York in the five boroughs, and I could speak with Westchester County and upstate New York, people came out in great numbers, you know. I'm assuming it's the same thing with Central Jersey and Northern Jersey. I don't know what happened over there, you know.
No, it was good. It was great turnout. Go ahead, Byron.
I was just going to say, as of about a minute ago, because I just checked the Andy Kim MacArthur vote, Andy Kim is ahead 49.8% over 48.92%. That was just 1 minute ago that this was posted.
Wow. All
right. Right. So perhaps, and I think that was, what, with how much percentage of the vote in that they have? Because they still got to count.
Oh, that was 98.95%
right.
Reporting.
Uh-oh. Right. So also with last night's results, with the Democrats taking back the House, Congressman Don Payne moved up and became a chairman of a subcommittee that he is on. Whatever party's in the majority,
mm-hmm.
they have all the committee chairmanships. So he, as a matter of fact, as we were sitting there in Mikey Sherrill's war room, went up to congratulate her, and they were running CNN was showing the election coverage. My cousin happened to see that the Republican that was the chairman of that subcommittee was defeated in his election. So he was like, okay, if we take back the House, you know, I'll be the chairman. So then as the night went on, we saw that the Democrats had the majority in the majority in the House. So now he is a chairman of the subcommittee of emergency preparedness, which is responsible for disasters and all kinds of things that go on in the country. So that was a good thing. And things like that, where the Democrats, Elijah Cummings is head of, I believe, his committee, and he's going to launch a lot of investigations into Trump's initially talking about his tax returns and things like that. So, I mean, that's exactly what you're talking about, Byron, in terms of the majority being good. But if we can talk about that press conference, man, because we were watching that today,
oh,
right, Mom?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
And that was must-see TV.
That was much.
You know, I mean,
well, I just
like
happened to
saying.
Stumble on it. It, I tell you, I felt so bad. You know, I mean, the deal is that this narcissistic anger and this behavior that, you know, he just foams at the mouth. You could see he just has this cavalier attitude, and he just, you know, is out to destroy you. I mean, he won't answer a question unless, I mean, to me, what's the purpose of even holding a news conference if you're not going to give, you know, legitimate answers? He knew full well walking into that briefing that he had plans on getting rid of Sessions. I mean, happened, you know, I mean, it's just the nonsense that just prevails with him. But what he did to Jim Acosta,
I think the president revealed himself to be just a despicable individual. I mean, he's the epitome of rich, arrogant, condescending, just all of the worst qualities that are rolled up that have been traditionally stereotypical of people of wealth. And on top of that, of someone obviously who's narcissistic. But just that whole I'm rich and I'm going to have everything attitude. And the fact that, you know, you got to give him respect. He said he could be president, and he was president, and he conned his way into being president and swindled his way into being president. And he just, you know, like you said, he's just a despicable person. And to have that, you know, and also, you know, he's a criminal, which makes sense that criminals lie. Criminals and thieves lie. And you can't believe anything that comes out of their mouth. So the numbers and all of that stuff, what is it? You can't believe this guy because he's a liar. And they all enable him, and they're liars too. So,
there were two things that really just stood out for me. And the immediate response from CNN was to unleash a full-blown rebuke of Trump with respect to their reporter in the room itself. But the two things that become very clear now. Number one, I think MSNBC, CBS, and ABC, we know Fox won't do it, but they need to start calling the president a racist, bigoted, white supremacist. Number two, with respect, I'm just waiting for one reporter, just one, to say, we'll stop giving you fake news if you stop lying to the American public. Call it right there in front of his face. Because at that point, all the gloves are off because he's a combatant.
Exactly.
He wants to combat and fight you, but you call him a liar in his press conference and say, we got the proof you've been lying to us for how many times? And now you're calling us out on fake news?
You are the fake president.
Well, the thing is, that has already begun to, not to the level of what perhaps you would expect it to happen, but, I mean, the deal is that it's been shown. They've played stuff back in his presence, and he's still in denial. I also feel that the White House press corps, there's always somebody, I don't know, my late friend, and certainly Kay would remember Bob Ellison, when it was like one of the first blacks to run the White House press corps about 20 years ago when we were active in it. There needs to be a decision taken on the part of somebody who's representing that group to call out Huckabee Sanders, to call out the president, to call out that lady that looks like witchcraft from New Jersey married to the attorney that I can't think of her name. You know who I'm talking about, Blondie.
Her.
You know. I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, these people need to be cited and you know, regardless of the position that he holds as president, you know, he's not above the law, and he thinks he's like that. Even his cut buddy today, I'm so glad he was exposed, Rudolph Giuliani, or as Jesse Jackson would say, Giuliana. You know, apparently he's now in court. He's now in court because he's getting a divorce, and his ex-wife is, like, really taking him through the coals, and he doesn't want to pay her out anything, but yet her attorney was able to tabulate how much money he's spending on a mistress. And that man walks around. If you ever notice his gait, his posture, the way he walks like he's constipated. You know, this, and I think somehow it's affected his mental judgment. You know, so he and Trump have a commonality there that goes way back. I'm just glad that chickens are coming home to roost.
But it has to continue. It has to. I want to see it amped up, you know. And they need to just take it to the next level and go and get this guy, because I want to see this. I mean, you know, I'm of the mind, I want to see this guy go to jail. I mean, this is how much animosity that he's developing. I mean, you know, just he needs to go to jail. They need to make an example of him. Not just impeach him, prosecute him. Prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law and all the crimes he's committed. Him, his whole family, they need to go to jail. You know, because this guy is really, he's trying to rip the country apart,
Well, the White House suspended the press pass of CNN's account. That happened today as well.
Oh.
Right, and I would suppose that's the other thing that they can do when reporters, I guess that's why they only push back but so much, you know. I mean, I've been wondering that for a while, too, like you, Byron. Call this guy a liar to his face. Or when you say that, no, on this day you said that. And we've seen them do that the last time he had a press conference and he just spins it. But I believe every time they get a chance to do it, they need to do it because the American public is watching and listening. And if nothing else, it is being recorded on video, on film, and it is a soundbite and a video clip for people to continue to look at as another example of him just being a despicable liar and a con man.
So they actually took Acosta's press card away? Is that what you said?
They suspended it.
Oh, my God.
They suspended his credentials. And, you know, if you saw today, he had the girl trying to snatch the mic out of people's hands and things like that.
Yeah.
And the way he was over people. He was talking over people as they were talking, and then he would make a little snide, smart-ass comments. I mean, you know, he started off the press conference taunting the Republicans who didn't campaign with him. You know, about it. You should have went out with me, bye-bye, and all this. Who does? I mean, what are you, in seventh grade? What is it with this guy? I mean, and this is just an example of someone who has no check and balance, has nobody reining him in and no whatever, and no consequences of his actions. So there need to be consequences for his actions.
It's scary. It is scary. But I'm glad at least there's some balance here, you know, I'd like to think, you know, at some point. But it's frightening. The fact that the House is now, you know, in large and in charge. I mean, the Senate was a tough call, but the bottom line is that anybody with some common sense can see exactly what is going on. But I just don't understand how these Republicans are so blind and spineless and just allow a lot of the crap to go on to continue, you know, without, or they just, I don't know. I mean, it's just unfathomable.
Well, they're willing to stay in office at all costs, clearly. And they're willing to, I mean, they have an ideology and a theory and a perspective about things. And they're, I mean, you know, they hold on to that, you know, and any way, you know, I mean, McConnell is the same dude as Trump. He'll spin it any which way he can.
You know,
and Lindsey Graham is just as despicable, too.
Oh,
you know,
please.
There's video file footage of him saying, you know, if Sessions gets fired, it's going to be holy hell to pay. Well, I wonder where he stands now.
Right, yeah, look what happened. Yeah,
you
thank
know?
You.
There's not going to be holy hell to pay. They're going to fall in line with this guy because they want to hold on to their seats. And they have an ideology that they live by. You know, I mean, this is really, you know, this is their last stand. I think the racists and the people who were, you know, those Civil War and believe in white supremacy, they're looking at this like I believe that this is their last stand with Trump. And Trump is willing to play that card all the way. I mean, you know, I mean, it was revealed, Lawrence O'Donnell revealed on his show that Trump's father was arrested at a Klan rally in, what, 1927 or whatever.
Wow.
That goes to tell you that this guy was growing up with a certain perspective. And all the stuff that who was saying, it was revealed, Michael Cohen last week, remember he came out revealing that Trump was saying black people were stupid and all kind of stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? So,
It's just sad. You know, I just often wonder, I was going to ask, what's the story now in Mississippi with Mike Espy? I mean, does it look like he has a shot at you know, taking that seat, or?
You know, I don't know. What Byron, do you have? It's a runoff?
It's a runoff,
yeah.
And he has a shot. Every runoff opportunity is a shot at victory. And remember, that's right, remember this. It was Fannie Lou Hamer and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee that challenged the voting and registration of African Americans, which brought about the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Voting rights.
That was 65. So ultimately, in the state of Mississippi, even in the deep, dark state of Mississippi, Mike Epps has a chance of becoming its next senator. And ultimately, that's the part that I want to encourage us to be emboldened by. We're in this Civil War. We just kicked their butt again. We kicked the South butt again. And Jeff Sessions is gone. I mean, let's face it. At the point at which right now, this country is in a constitutional crisis. They have crossed that line long time ago. And what
right.
really, there's one thing that really that I'm really upset about, and that is the folly of white men in this country who really feel as if they're so so emboldened and so much what's the word I want to use, that they are privileged.
Yeah.
To try and change the rules when it's not going their way. And this is exactly what we're seeing all across this country. But women, once again, gentlemen, women are the key change factor that stood up yesterday all across the country and made the difference.
And I have to say, you also have to give kudos to those suburban white women. Because I met some of them last night. I'm you know really impressed that they can distinguish, you know, the garbage from reality. I mean it's just one of those things. It just amazes me that, you know, again I don't mean to refer to them as flyover states, but it's just for some reason or another they want to hold on to this thinking that America is not changing. You know, I wish Beto O'Rourke had come within, well, he did come within striking distance of taking that seat from Cruz. Cruz, Lord knows, does not deserve it. Even the Republicans, there are many Republicans who don't really, you know, support Cruz at all, but he managed to win, and that's it. But I think this is their last hurrah. I think Texas is going to go blue. And I think once that happens, you know, and some of the other states, then you'll have at least a balance of power of what's going on. It may not happen overnight, you know, but I'd like to think by 2020, if we could have this momentum going into the next presidential election, then, you know, we have a fighting chance for sure.
Yeah, one thing happened in the Midwest yesterday that still needs to be examined is the defeat and rebuke of the Koch brothers. Kansas has a Democratic governor.
No,
right.
That's huge. Okay, that is the state for which the Koch brothers placed so much of their effort in trying to establish the alt-right economy in a state
right.
that literally took everything they gave the Koch brothers gave to them and implemented it, and it damn near bankrupted the entire state. They went blue
right.
yesterday.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That was Brownback was that governor of,
that's
was,
right.
of Kansas. Is that
that's
correct?
Right. Kobach, right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And they defeated the hand-picked Kobach, Brownback's hand-picked deputy, lieutenant governor, and Kobach was supposed to be the next anointed one. They not only took it, they beat him royally.
Right.
Mm.
And let's give kudos to the state of New York. We got a black attorney general, female.
Oh yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Oh my
Letitia
God.
James, is that who?
James. We got a black attorney general.
I remember, man.
That's right. Okay.
I know. And they tried to stop
right
that
there.
From happening. Yeah.
Exactly. So I mean, and New York took both houses again. Both
right, right.
The Senate and the representative side, both houses of
right.
the State House of New York, are now Democratic.
Mhm. You know.
Once again,
so and even in Staten Island, which
Staten
is
Island
the bastion of,
right.
Of Republican presence in the city, in the five boroughs, that's the only borough. For years, you don't even look over there when it comes to, you know, it being blue. And finally, the message has gotten across, you know.
Okay.
I mean, this was really a slap in this man's face. It was really a rebuke,
as you said. That's right. In his backyard.
Thank
you. So that ultimately, we have to make the assessment of the victories that we have and understand and realize we just really took a major step in taking back our nation. See, the thing about the victory for the Republicans in 2016 is that they did not win the popular vote. They won the electoral vote, which means that the majority of our country gave the minority party an opportunity to do what they could say they would do by Make America Great Again. In the 2 years that they had all the power, they did nothing but squander it and pretty much turn us into a third world nation. And now, even with the economy, even with the jobs, I was looking at Obama's last statistics of his last year. Do you realize that his unemployment rate was down to 5.9% when he left office?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So,
almost cut it in half, you know? I mean, so, you know.
Exactly right. So,
I mean,
how much of a victory do the GOP get to claim, which I still say to this day, they're cooking the books. I don't buy the numbers.
Anybody who lies to us day in and day out.
Well, that goes back to my point, Byron, about he's a liar. They're liars. You can't believe anything that comes, you know. I'm not going to believe that they're, you know, these numbers that they claim coming out. Why? This guy's been lying. This guy lied about the crowd size at his inauguration. We're going to believe this guy about the economy numbers? Come on. All they have to do is they rely on the ignorance of people. They rely on the ignorance of the common person, the average person in the electorate, who is pretty ignorant to the process and also the facts. I mean, you know, people can be swayed with stuff they read on the internet just without any checking that or without any common sense. You read this, some of the ridiculous stuff that comes out, and Hillary Clinton and their you know, their child worship, devil worship, whatever, you know. If you read something that outlandish, that kind of Star Magazine, you know, checkout counter rags, wouldn't you just think common sense would say that can't be true? Come on. Just out of the sheer wow factor. And what happens, that's why those rags thrive. That's why we're in the business we're in today, because there are people who are willing to believe the extreme outlandish without even thinking twice. I mean, I could understand, you know, the whole conspiracy theory aspect, and some conspiracies are actually true. But, you know, you think it out. You think it through a little bit and give it your own little thought process. And what, unfortunately, we have in the United States is that there's not a lot of highly educated people, and clearly there's not a lot of people with common sense either. And combine that with people who are just individuals who hate a lot. You know, it's like the guy riding around who sent the bombs, right? I mean, that dude was a highly educated individual. Clearly, this guy is not playing with a full deck, you know, and it goes back to what we were talking about. I think one of you guys mentioned about how, you know, the white men, they feel so put upon, like some of these guys that, you know, because they believe in that system that America was a white supremacist society. They believed in a slaveholder mentality. Whatever they say goes. You know, they've been making up the rules. They've had a basic framework of the rules, but then when the rules don't work out in their favor, the math doesn't add up. They've been lynching black people in courts of law, you know, all white juries and stuff you see in the movies. The shit is all true, you know? So, I mean, why should we expect anything else? Everything is up for grabs. That's basically my point with these people.
Well, I'd like to think there's a change. I had a very sobering conversation with a young white man at the Mamaroneck Town Dump today, and he did not vote for Trump. I mean, it was just amazing. Here's a guy somewhat limited in his education, but he understands the hypocrisy of what's going on. And we were talking about the unemployment numbers, and he was talking about how he is literally volunteering at this dump, doing what he's doing because he couldn't find work. And yet, you know, if you listen to this guy every night, that there are jobs, you know, are out there wanting. And it shouldn't be a situation of, you know, evaluating one's education. If there are that many jobs out there for people, you know, we should have, like, zero unemployment, you know? And then he's always talking about what he's done for black and Latinos. You know, like he's extraordinary.
We know that's a lie, right?
We know somebody's still out here suffering.
I want to share an anecdotal story that happened to me 2 days ago. On election day itself, yesterday, I go to the bank in my Russian Jewish community, Bank of America, to deposit a check, okay, from one of my clients. As I speak to, as the young lady behind the counter, a Russian immigrant, says to me, "Well, Mr. Saunders, what else can I do for you today?" And I said, "Don't forget to vote." And in her smile, she said back to me, "I'm not a U.S. citizen. I can't vote." And I said to her, "Well, when you do get your citizenship, you make sure you participate as a voter. Your vote will count." Now, I'm leaving the bank, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't have a job. I'm having a hard time putting my ends together, and here I am speaking to a young immigrant who does not have the right to vote with getting a job at a bank. And I'm like,
right.
What's wrong with this picture?
What's
wrong with this picture?
Thank you. Unbelievable. I gather that was in Brooklyn. The People's Republic.
Yes, that's right out here in Midwood, Brooklyn. Yes, sir. Two blocks from my house. Two blocks from my apartment. Okay.
What would be the ethnicity? Let me ask Byron. What would be the ethnicity of this young immigrant?
She was Russian immigrant.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Oh, at the top, right? Yeah.
So I said to her, "Placebo," which means thank you, and then I said, "Dos vidani."
Right.
And the smile on her face was, "Thank you for acknowledging me as in my language." But I walked out that bank, I said, "That's the problem that we have right now. You're an immigrant and have a job. I'm a born American and unemployed."
You're a born black American, bro.
A black unemployed American, who's someone with a degree, and you can't hire me because of age discrimination. Y'all don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Here we got, what's the unemployment rate? And that's when I want to, excuse my French, piss all over the administration and tell them it's raining.
Oh, please.
Right. I mean, you know, this guy.
Bring his mouth over.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's why I rest my case, because there's nothing that is substantial that comes out. I mean, everything is going to be the fabrication as it benefits Donald Trump. So, there's no need to. I mean, the fact that I can understand people trying to have business as usual, but it is always bizarre to me the way people are talking as if this man is. That these are kind of regular situations. Well, the president has, and they can work together with the Dems and this and that. Working together with how? The guy shouldn't even be president. He stole the presidency. He colluded
with
the foreign government.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about him in normal circumstantial, in a normal context? You know, he's a criminal. You know, but I want to before we get off in another couple of minutes, and my mom jumped off. You might want to jump back into this conversation, Mom. The notion that Oprah was his name was being thrown around as a potential presidential candidate that about a week or two ago, I guess maybe last week, it was a notion that Gayle was trying to convince Oprah to run for president, and Oprah was seen. If you see the video clip of Oprah going door to door for Stacey Abrams, where she was canvassing and knocks on some young sister's door, who was really surprised to see her. But, you know, it was said that Gayle was telling Oprah, you know, the conversation allegedly that they reported went like Oprah didn't want, her life was nice, she didn't want to mess up her life, and Gayle was like, "The country is bigger than your life," basically. That's paraphrasing, you know, you got to do it for the country. So what's everybody's assessment about that? Is that a slam dunk or what?
Yeah, I thought that those two had resolved. I thought there had been some public discussion that she didn't want to do it and that Gayle was cool with it. But, I dislike how, you know, Pence and Trump and all the others disparaged this woman because she showed support for Stacey Abrams. I mean,
they disparaged Oprah. I didn't hear about that. They were disparaged.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were saying all sorts of despicable things. In fact, One of the questions today, I didn't see the press conference from the beginning, but when I tuned in, there was some mention of the Oprah Winfrey factor in the Georgia contest, and he had something to say about that, you know, or how, you know, he didn't have the star power,
right,
or had the support of other stars around him and stuff like that. You know, it regardless of what went on, the fact of the matter is there is a history in the South, as Byron has pointed out from the onset of this program. And the history still exists, and this guy, Kemp, is still playing that card, hoping that that's going to be enough to carry him over the top. And he seems very resolute in his beliefs about that. You know,
right.
So, you know, I mean, it just bothers me that we're still dealing with that. But
right.
I really think that, you know, she's a jewel, and I think that we roll her out when we need to. But I wouldn't want to put that kind of scrutiny, you know, under somebody like an Oprah Winfrey. She, you know, or anybody else who doesn't feel like they're up to that task, because American politics, I mean, you know, you don't have a life anymore, man. Like everything, like you're in a fishbowl.
Should,
you know?
Listen. Should Oprah Winfrey decide to be involved, you know, it's all over for Trump. Okay? She is the one woman or the one person who can stand up to Trump and all his nonsense. She has a lot of power. And really, you don't want a group of black women to get together, you know, in mass numbers. Okay? We do, and I really hope Oprah decides to do it, because Trump will not exist anymore. Okay?
She has too much class.
So, you know, she is very powerful, and she's very powerful with the black women in our community. You know, you really need to get your heads around that and starting everything you can do to encourage her, because she is the one person who can destroy him.
Yeah, I think that Oprah would win. But, you know, that whole concept that you're talking about, Wayne, yeah, it's a difficult thing, which is why there's a lot of people, a lot of really smart and brilliant people and capable individuals in our society that choose not to get involved in politics. But, you know, I guess it's that point where gets to be a line drawn where people have to take action. And it seems that's the thing that trips me out about this era and this time period now, going through these things with this guy. Back in the civil rights days and civil rights movement, that generation, your generation, that generation and previous generations had to get active, you know, because
right.
people's progression lives were being directly affected. Are we going to take action so our lives are going to be freer and we can make progress? And this is one of those times again in our country because you haven't had a president like this guy come along in a very long time where he was going to actually use.
Has there ever been a president like this?
Yeah, you've had presidents that used. We've had presidents that have used race. We've had presidents that were Klansmen. Okay, I'm talking about in modern day that we haven't had a president that has used the obvious distinction and clash between the races as a tool, as a weaponized tactic to get his agenda forward. And this guy has weaponized and tried to use the division, you know, racial division, made it very plain. That's what I'm talking about. That hasn't been done. We haven't seen that in modern politics, at least on a presidential level, in quite some time. And that's what I'm referring to when people have to get to a point where either you're going to get in the fight or you're going to stand on the sidelines, but your life is going to be affected either way. And so it's like one of those moments, where do you stand at this time in history? What are you going to do? And individuals like Oprah, you know, they might be called upon to do things that they don't want to do, you know, to rise to an occasion that they thought they would never have to rise to.
I don't know another individual like Oprah.
Right.
She's one of the most powerful women on the planet.
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I think, you know, when the decision comes down to that, you know, where we're talking about the future of the country, and a lot of people have been saying that, you know, is it going to be roll back to the 60s or what? Where there's certain parts of the country.
Let me go back on that a little bit. She is one of the. She is the most powerful woman on the planet.
Okay.
Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah.
For the black community, you let her step out there, and you'll find more black, Latino, Asian, and Indian women coming out in droves. In droves.
I think Oprah would win. I think white women, a lot of white women would come out for her. But
of course,
it's like you said, Wayne. If her heart is not into it, if somebody's heart is not into it, and they're not really into it, then it's not going to be
She's thinking about it.
It's not going. Yeah, that's what we've been talking about. But then it's not going to be a big thing. So who knows? But we definitely need to have people, you know, that step up. This guy is trying to
right.
I mean, he's trying to use it, every means. For his own purpose, you know?
Oh, no question.
If creating chaos is one of them, he clearly has no problem with that. You know? I mean, you know, you got a president who owns a hotel down in Washington, D.C. He's got the nerve to encourage people to come to his hotel, heads of state. And they get the unwritten message. You know, you want to get do business with the Trump family, want to do business with this administration, come stay at his hotel. You might get an opportunity
exactly.
to see. You know, executives in his administration hanging out, eating at the restaurant, you know, doing whatever. You know, I mean, there's so much impropriety with this guy. It's unbelievable. It almost is funny if he wasn't president.
Well, that's the sad part about it. I guess that's where the humor comes in, because this man is the leader of the free world, and we're putting up with this nonsense. You know, he should be impeached,
this man,
but, you know, I guess.
Wayne.
Yeah.
This man is the devil.
Okay.
And when you have the devil up against, you have to get somebody even a little over the devil, okay? Somebody who can play his game, but a sincere person. That's Oprah Winfrey.
Right.
Gentlemen, I rest my case. Good night.
All righty. All right, Bob. Thank you very much. And
there
she goes. All right. Thanks for that. And that is, she would win. Oprah Winfrey would win. But in terms of finding somebody who is going to be able to take on this guy, I mean, and, you know, the rest of them, because this is just the first step, taking back the House. We've got to continue the mission. We have to go get the Senate and the presidency.
Yeah.
And we have to, and Democrats have to really realize that although we have to be about the business of the country, you got to keep an eye on these Republicans, because they don't have allegiance. Clearly, they don't have allegiance to the country. That's not more important to them, for the business of America. What's more important to them is that their own, you know, their own needs are met. Their own, you know, they're not trying to. I mean, they haven't passed any significant legislation since they've been in office.
Yeah.
You know, McCain, before he died, came back and said, "We're not getting anything done."
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And this guy keeps preaching the hate and keeps preaching it, and that's exactly what all those racists want in his party.
Well.
You know?
You know, they should be locked up.
That was a tactic, and we got just about 90 seconds left. But if you remember, that was a tactic from Karl Rove used during George Bush days, where they would accuse the other side of doing the exact thing that they were doing. So, you know, that's what they do. That's what criminals do, you know. So,
it's unbelievable.
So any last-minute thoughts there? Last-minute thoughts, Brother Saunders?
Yes, I want to give you a quote from the Sun Tzu, The Art of War.
Uh-oh,
because
there you go.
Mueller's investigation is indeed the true art of war. Supreme excellence consists of breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And there you have Mueller's entire investigation. He's not been leaking anything. He's giving you drips and drains of a little bit of everything, and make it be known, he's got everything he needs to drop the anvil. And
well, there it is.
Your last piece, let your plans be dark and impenetrable as night.
There it is. Put the period in it, brother. All right. There it is. Thank you, Brother Byron Saunders. Brother Wayne Gilman, you're next.
Thank you.
Your last minute thought.
As usual. I concur with Byron there. You know, I really think that we have to stay the course. That's it.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show. I want to encourage you to listen to us again next week. We're here every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. I'm Citizen Payne. This has been the Kay Thompson Live Show. Thank you to the co-host, Wayne, Byron. We got to go. Everybody, good night.